Hello and welcome back to Bet Slapped. I'm Sammy.
And I'm Jordana.
And we are here.
Yes.
It's election day.
It's election week. It's election day.
Yeah.
This is the only midterm elections that I feel like have been
a big deal.
I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
It's coming from everywhere. Well, I'm gonna vote.
Well, as of this podcast coming out, we have been on a bus all day.
Oh, I've already voted. I'm sorry. I forgot this comes out.
No, so we've been on a bus all day, which you may be able to find on Instagram.
Such a funny bus. If you see it, you'll definitely want to take a picture of it. It says,
"Get in, loser. We're going voting."
Yes. It's the Mean Girls inspired bus of your dreams.
We can thank Tina Fey. Should add her.
We've been wanting to do this for years. So
since Mitt Romney was running.
We hope you like it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Next.
All right.
Which is our next topic.
Sammy, why don't you do, because I didn't do my do research. Why don't you give me a little recap of what the fuck is going on with Ariana Grande?
And her song.
Yes.
Okay. So it all started Saturday night when a half hour before SNL was on, she tweeted something. It was obviously like throwing shade at Pete Davidson. And she was like, "For someone who claims to hate relevancy, you sure are clinging to it." And then
she also like tweet something, thank you next, and everyone thought she was like shading him.
And then right after that, she tweeted thank you next.
Okay.
And they thought she was shading him. It seems like she might have been shading him. I don't know.
Or it would have been just also like a very good PR move.
Yeah. Then, right, or a good, yeah, probably both. Then he went on SNL and he like said something nice about her. I sent it to you. You did not include it in the outline.
Oh, I didn't realize that was why. I thought you just wanted me to know.
Oh, no. I was telling you for the outline. Okay. Oh. And then he went on SNL and he said, "The truth is, it's nobody's business. Sometimes things just don't work out, and that's okay. She's a wonderful, strong person. I genuinely wish her all the happiness in the world." And then he told everyone to vote. But then she came out with this song, "Thank You Next," which you would think would be kind of shady, but it was actually kind of, if you listen to it, she's like expressing gratitude for all these men who have these relationships she's been in and what she's learned from them, even Pete Davidson.
Right. And here's the thing about recording songs. I don't really feel like you can write, record, and release a song in the amount of time since they actually broke up. So I feel like she definitely had to have been working on this while they were together.
You think? I don't think
the song production turnaround time is that short. They've only been broken up for what? Like
a few weeks.
I don't think you can write a full song, get the whole thing recorded, and like put your whole album thing together. Like I feel like this was just a PR, not that the breakup was a PR stunt, but I feel like the thank you next thing was a PR thing.
Yeah,
but
that was,
I don't think this was like a shading song. It just, I don't, the time, it doesn't make sense.
I think you're saying you think she started working on this when they were together.
Yeah, I don't think
maybe,
songs
but
work like that. You think she wrote this whole song?
I think if you're Ariana Grande, I think if you're Ariana Grande, you can get the team in place to help you immediately.
I don't really know what the music industry timeline is like.
I don't
but
either.
I assume it's like a lot longer, especially if there's a music video. I don't know what the deal is with the song or if that's.
Well, maybe if anyone who knows something about the music industry could help us by letting us know, write into slapped at betches.com if you have any insight on the music.
And if this is actually a possibility.
Okay, for her to, I think it is possible. Think about it. You take like.
So you're saying the second she broke up with him, she was like writing the song with the music.
Okay, how long
and
has
the
it
lyrics,
been? A month?
And cleared it legally and did all that other stuff. Less than a month. It's definitely less than a month.
If you're Ariana Grande, everyone is dropping every single fucking thing they're doing to make sure to write your breakup song. Think about it. I think that it is definitely doable. It's doable.
I think that this was written while she was with him and this was coming out anyway. And this thank you next thing happened to be a great PR thing into it. She got everyone writing about her. Like
I don't know. I will check NT lawyer.
Yeah, let me know.
I think that it's not an impossibility. It's not like it was one day. It was like several weeks. And I think that if you have a team of 20 people or something working around the clock to write, produce, record your song, it takes a day to record a song.
We were just talking about this, but when it comes to Ariana's music in general, I feel like I feel like she's either like I'm obsessed with her song or like I hate it.
Yeah.
And I really didn't like the song.
I don't hate any of her songs. I just 50 times, like some more.
I really like No Tears Left to Cry.
Me too. I listen to that so many fucking times on repeat. I also like One Last Time.
I like One Last Time. Yeah. They both have like... I like the beautiful ones that are, tone. Yeah, that are like... She has a really good voice. She's very talented.
I also used to not like... shit, what's that song called? Not Side to Side. The other one that's like... I can't think of it. I used to dislike it. Side to Side and this other song. Okay. I used to dislike them a lot, but now I like them.
I don't like God as a Woman.
I do. But I didn't like it at first.
Yeah, maybe her
song. What's that other song that she's like that she like really shit. It's two words.
You want me to pull up her Spotify?
Yeah. Yeah. Her discography. This is like that meme where people are like, the closest you will be to being a ghost is listening to a podcast and knowing something that the hosts don't know.
Okay, she has, here's the order of most popular. Breathing.
Not that.
God is a Woman. No Tears Left to Cry. Sweetener. Side to Side. Did it come out in this album or in like the Dangerous Woman album?
Older.
Is it Dangerous Woman?
I'm not sure which album it's on.
Is it Bad Decisions?
No.
Is it?
It's more popular than that.
Touch It?
No.
Is it I Don't Care?
No, hold on. I'm going to find it. This is a fun game.
Is it Into You?
Yes. It's Into You. So into okay. You. I didn't like that song. I didn't like that song at first, but then later on, the chorus.
Guys, it's like you're at a free concert. It's like you're at a free Ariana Grande concert.
That got stuck in my head. You're welcome. That part got stuck in my head one time, and then it just like never left me.
Yeah.
Although it did, the name of the song.
I think I'm like back and forth on her.
I like her though.
She's definitely done a good job of blowing herself up in pop culture this year.
Yeah, she's like, she's big.
Yeah.
She's like what Amy Schumer was during Trainwreck time.
I feel like she used to be known for her cat ears, which were weird.
I think she used to be known for being annoying. That's what I knew her for. Yeah,
with the cat ear thing. She had something with like donuts. Licking the donuts. Where she was like high. She like went into, I don't know now.
She was like a little annoying before.
What does Auntie Lawyer have to say about her?
Basically that like she, well, first of all, the way she like got with Pete was that she cheated. She like cheats a lot. She basically like sleeps a lot of people.
Okay.
That's what he says. And that she like does drugs, like all the things that are,
everyone in Hollywood probably does that.
I think what he's describing when he says that is sort of like college students,
right?
Like Ariana Grande does
go to college,
right? Ariana Grande pretty much does what like your non-library dwelling college student does.
Right. She's having a shit ton of fun.
Right. And wouldn't you also? Like, you're Ariana Grande.
She never got college years, so she's probably, like, in that now. And she makes a shit ton of money.
I think she was also, like, harassed by producers. Like, it seems like they all were.
Right.
I'm in the middle of the Britney Spears deep dive right now.
Oh, I hear she's not all there.
That's what he said. He's like, she's...
I've heard that from multiple sources, that she's just, like... A little like over medicated and like,
well, because she was put on the conservatorship or whatever,
right?
And then they just, you know,
I feel like they just drugged her out to make sure she keeps making money and doing what she's supposed to do.
Yes, that is exactly the case.
I've heard,
but I think there's more.
Heard
I'll
that
share
around.
It with you when I get through
Britney.
It. Poor Britney, I know.
Like now she like does. I feel like they like.
She's been famous since she was very young. She's a Mickey Mouse.
Now she's like so drugged out that she's just like doing watercolors. Like outside her by her pool. Remember she used to like be driving with her like kids, like was steering the wheel and like smoking cigarettes.
Oh my god.
Poor Britney.
I can't believe she did that.
I think she was just kind of like in like a crazy world of I don't know, of like this, I didn't choose this life, and like now I have these kids and I married this guy, and then like just not mentally all there, but never really given the time probably to get her shit together.
Well, I kind of think that like a lot of celebrities, particularly the ones who become famous when they're young, they're all like that. It's just that they all just sort of end up with a different situation.
Well, you never
really
get a chance to like go through a normal like adolescent and then like adulthood period, because it's all like overshadowed by this.
It's not only that. Yes, that is a big part of it, but I think even more than that, the effect of like people always kind of like wanting a piece of you.
Right.
Do you want a piece of me?
I remember I saw the Oprah Rihanna interview back when she was really always in the headlines because of her Chris Brown thing. And Oprah did a like intensive interview like series with her essentially. And one thing she said, I remember, was just like, I like was like 16 when I was like discovered, and then like I never really had a chance to like figure out who I even was. It was like they like these Hollywood people, like my like producer, my agent or whatever, like they all had this like vision of who they wanted me to be, and then I became like they knew what would sell, and it was like this like sexualized like pop star who had this like vibe. Yeah. And she's like, and I never really knew, was that like my vibe, or was that like what they were telling me? And I'm 16, so I don't even know what it is yet. So I kind of you kind of just like assume.
Well, that's like, that's what NT Laurie was saying in the beginning of the Britney Spears episode, that like with Britney, she kind of wanted to sing more like Sheryl Crow-esque songs, but then they pinned her as sexy virgin who is waiting for marriage, and so they gave her that image,
right?
And because that was what they thought would sell.
It's
and
just
that was
like a Star Is Born.
It is just like A Star Is Born. It's no, it really is, and right. I think with these types of celebrities, there's a lot more abuse than we realize, because like for them to like reach their dreams, it's the same as like in like US gymnastics, even
right.
For these people in these highly competitive positions, for them to basically like achieve what they want, they have to essentially say, okay, I'm fine with whatever you'll do to me,
right?
And then they end up being abused.
Yeah, because they're kind of like, there's this like extreme mega stardom that's dangled in their face, where it's like, yeah, you could not listen to us and just be like doing like singing at like weddings.
Right.
Or you could let us change everything we want to change about you, and then you will be like the famous, biggest, most powerful pop star that anyone's ever
seen.
Well,
I also think that that might change. So like that's because all these people started in like the 90s and the 2000s when like you needed those people to get you famous. But now all you need is your own social media, and you could kind of get yourself famous. I mean,
yeah, you still need to kind of like look a certain way and like sing a certain kind of song that's like particularly catchy, which I kind of like, so I don't really care. Like, but I think like I'm not like an intense music person. Like, I like what everyone likes. I don't have like some sort of sophisticated music.
Well,
palette.
You're the person who these people are selling,
right?
To.
So like, I appreciate that because like I enjoy it.
Honestly, like I'm the same. I also like basic music. I was making the Election Day bus playlist,
right.
And I was like, every song on here is so fucking basic, and I was like, I won't even pick any song that's not. Basic.
Right. It's like the way that I get annoyed about like certain movies that are made that are just terrible, and I think they're just trash, and they get so many people love them, and they get like they make so much money. It's probably how people who are really into music feel about like the songs that I love. Do you know what I mean?
I also like, yeah.
Like, do you ever see like what those movies that are just like so terrible, but they just make a shit, and I'm just like, who is like watching this? Like, it almost makes you mad. Like, that's probably what someone feels about me.
Maybe. I mean, I think that music, okay, I think there's more room to like more music, because like, what does it take to listen to a song? Like, 3 minutes, you know?
Right.
So I think with music,
it doesn't take much to like wow me with a song. Like, I'm like, oh, this is catchy.
But
like
you could also have like, I think it's different with music and movies. Like, movies, like a 2-hour endeavor. It has to like have all the pieces fit together. I think it's much harder.
But some people don't care if it has all the pieces fit together. They're just like, I'm entertained.
They probably
by this.
Like
this
the shitty music too.
No, maybe they like the good music. I'm saying more.
Popular music doesn't have to be bad. Like, I like popular music. I also like, I honestly like prefer popular music, but I do like I like older music. But that was the older music that was the popular music of the old days that I like.
Yeah, exactly. I don't like any. I mean, like, there's an occasional song that I'll like that not everyone else likes.
Where'd you even find out about it?
I don't know. Probably like some guy sent it to me, and I like liked it because I liked him, and I thought like, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I'm like, oh, this is such a great song. But like, if I heard it from like a friend, I probably wouldn't like not care.
You would have
but
never
instead,
even
I was
heard
like,
it.
Oh my god, I love this song. It's like, what is he trying to say to me?
You also probably would never even heard the song. Because you just like would be like, fuck it, I'm not listening to your
true.
Stupid
There's
song.
There's like a whole band that I was into because a guy sent it to me.
What band?
Gaslight Anthem.
Oh, I've heard of them.
Yeah, they're like not super mainstream. They're like semi-mainstream, whatever.
Yeah.
but I got really into them. I do actually think they're good, but I think I wouldn't have even like really given it a chance if not for like,
that's
this
true.
Boy that I like likes.
Imagine if I was like, Giordano, you should listen to this obscure band, Gaslight Anthem. You'd be like, ew, you have shitty taste.
Exactly. Or like, you're weird. Go away. Yeah.
Right. Give me the Ariana Grande.
Exactly.
Okay, should we take a break and then come back for some emails?
Let's do it.
Giordana, let's switch gears for a second and talk about something not very funny, but very important.
What's that?
Life insurance.
Life insurance.
Life insurance. I know most people don't want to talk about life insurance because then you're like, oh shit, like what if I die? It's like, guess what, bitch? Everyone dies.
You should be in the clergy.
I should be.
Very comforting.
A motivational speaker.
Yeah, I was comforted by that. Yes. I feel at ease now going into the dark, into the seeing the light.
Yes, well, as you will if you have life insurance.
That's true, because you'll have peace of mind.
Yes, exactly.
So there's this company, it's called Policy Genius, and it's the easy way to get life insurance online. So in just 2 minutes, you can compare quotes from the top insurers to find the best policy for you. And when you compare quotes, you save money. Who doesn't fucking like saving money?
Yeah. It's great to have it's great to compare things in one place. I hate when I have to you're looking for let's say a flight, you have to open one tab and open another two tabs and then open another tab. It's like, I wish I could just look at it all in one place.
Now you can with Policy Genius.
Yeah.
Which has helped over 4 million people shop for insurance and placed over $20 billion in coverage.
I wish they could take that $20 billion and give it to me. Yeah.
Same.
So if you've been avoiding getting life insurance because it's difficult or confusing, and it is, give Policy Genius a try. Just go to policygenius.com, get your quotes, and apply in minutes. You can do the whole thing on your phone right now. Policy Genius, the easy way to compare and buy life insurance.
Okay. Let's do an email. Do you want to read the first one?
Yes.
Dear Betches.
No, I just have a lot of feelings.
Dear Betches, love the show and listen to it every day on my schlep to work. Have been meaning to write in, so here we go. I started dating this guy, and at first I felt like I snagged a good one. He's tall, handsome, funny, English, and owns a townhome in Carroll Gardens. Washer, dryer, fireplace, the works.
Washer, dryer.
It's an adult.
In New York, that's a big thing.
Yeah, it is. However, it clearly is here too. Okay. However, as we continue to hang out, I'm wondering if he is a little fucked up in the head. So I'm one of those girls who flirts by making fun of a guy, and I like when they do that as well. Ideally, I want a lighthearted relationship dripping in sarcasm and filled with witty banter. However, there is a difference between playfully saying, you're an idiot, and saying, don't be a pussy, you slapper. Slapper equals slut. Okay, she's English.
Is English.
I think they're both, or whatever. I tell him to chill out and not to speak to me like that. But whenever he gets on a comedic roll or is drinking, it happens. He talks to me like I'm a bro at a frat house. The other night, he went out with some friends and I wake up to a chain of texts saying some weird shit, then an apology for the aforementioned text, then a Meghan Markle gif who he thinks I look like. Of course, these are punctuations in otherwise sweet/nice moments. He tells me he doesn't want to date anyone else and is constantly trying to spend time with me. But seriously, what the fuck is this guy's problem? Should maybe mention that he's 36 years old and I'm 29. How can I make it clear that he's crossing the line? Do I mark him as defective and cut off all ties? What does this all mean? Any and all advice needed. Sincerely, the slapper.
Okay. Part of me does think this is a British humor thing. I have a friend who dated a British guy, and she would make very similar complaints that he was very funny and very sarcastic, but he wasn't sweet, and he was not very sensitive at all.
Well, this girl's saying that he has sweet, nice moments in between.
Right. An occasional moment, but on the whole, it's that I think that is a sort of British thing. Not that all British people are assholes or or rude, but I think that there may be something in that culture is a little bit more standoffish and not the most I think Americans are a little more emotional and
mushy,
and they're more masked with that British,
right?
Serious.
Well, British people, it's sort of this you can't get too close,
right?
So that's a way of pushing people away.
Yeah, for sure. So I think that might be a cultural thing, but also this is what it's kind of what I'm feeling from this is this is what attracted you to this guy in the first place, right? In the beginning, you like that. I have a feeling you wouldn't have liked it if he was too sweet at first, but now that you're kind of with him, you're kind of all right, I'm ready for you to change your personality and be the person that I now want you to be, which is she'll make me feel special and be nice to me and not I'm not into this thing, which is his fault, but it's also your fault because he's never been a different person. You just kind of want him to act differently now that you like him more, which isn't really fair.
Right. Okay. Here's what I think she should do. I think she should say something. Mm-hmm. I don't think she should just break up with him all of a sudden.
Yeah,
for this.
No, I agree.
I think she should first say something in a really serious way, not serious, in a threatening way, but just be I really want to talk to you about this. I tried to I tried to kind of like laugh it off, but this really bothers me. And then see how he responds to that. And if he like says he'll do better, my guess is he'll say that he'll try to be better, because like if you approach it that it really is bothering you, he's probably not going to be like, oh, fuck off, slapper. Like he's like,
well, yeah. And I think you could take ownership for like the fact that that's part of what you liked about him, especially like that he could give it back to you and that he's funny and sarcastic. Be like, I love that like you're like so witty and you're so quick and you can like,
right,
give it to me just as much as you can take it. But like, and feel like if we're gonna really date, like I do want to see like a sweeter side of you, and that's also really important to me. Do you think that that's something that you could do, or is that really just like not the kind of guy that you are?
You know what, now that I'm actually we're thinking about this, my friend also like married a British Israeli mm-hmm. guy, and she actually says this too. She's yeah. like, he doesn't know when his jokes are too far.
I think that is like a little bit of a British thing that they're like, it's just like, despite what like the British romantic comedies show you, like they're just not right.
They don't show you when the guy takes it too far and like it's it like hurts,
right? Yeah. I think this is like a little bit of a cultural thing, and then also maybe like a little bit of a like fear of intimacy, like being too sweet thing.
Well, that might also be cultural, but okay, wait.
Also, so like the older you get, the more annoying this becomes.
Right.
Because it's like in the beginning it's like fun and it's like you don't really know like where you stand, but then like the closer you want to become, like if you're going to marry this guy, like you don't really want to just be made fun of all the time. Like it gets old. Like I used to love that shit too. I used to love Same. Like people who would like kind of like make fun of, and I can make fun of them, and you scored sort of like a dry, like sarcastic back and forth.
But part of that is that you didn't, it was kind of like a fear of intimacy,
right,
too.
Which is like fun. It keeps yeah. it like fun and exciting, but right. but after a while you kind of want to feel safe, and this doesn't feel safe. This feels like I have to right. always like have my guard up. I always have to like be like, we're in this contest of who's like the quickest, fastest, right. funniest person. And like, you could do that with your friends. Like right. when you're fucking around with them, like when you're looking for someone to be with you, like for life as like a serious partner, you want to feel like you're not constantly like trying to one up each other. You can just like chill and like sometimes just get the affection that you need.
Right. Cause when you do get too close, this isn't like cool anymore.
Right.
Like once you are close, like in a real.
Yeah. I mean, in the proper setting, it's always fun. It's always nice to be with someone who's like quick and funny, and like it's every now and then. But if that's like what they're doing, if it's like 90-10.
Right.
That's like annoying.
It or even
like,
less.
Right. Like I wouldn't mind someone who's like 20-80. Like.
Yeah. Like, well, OK. So long term for this girl, let's say he is not responsive. Like he doesn't like listen to what you say, and he doesn't improve or try to make any improvements. Then it becomes a decision like, is this someone I really want to stay with? And right. that's a different question.
Yeah, and better to find that out earlier just to see if yeah. he's capable of acting like that. And then after you say that to him, I would really pay attention to his actions and then feel like, is this matching up to like how if I feel like I could be happy with this kind of person long term? Because people change. People can't completely change who they are. He's never going to be the sweetest guy if this is his go-to attitude. But they can shift a little bit.
Right.
So you can see if he'll shift a little bit, if he's willing to like try.
Yeah.
And then you can see, is that enough for me?
And you can tell by how he receives your criticism.
Right.
Like if he's like, I'm not saying he's never going to make a mistake. He will, because this is his personality. Mm-hmm. So he's going to say things that bother you.
Right.
But it's like, does he actually seem like he's making an effort?
Right. Is he actually concerned with like if you're offended, or is he just kind of brushing it off and pretending like you're sensitive?
Exactly.
Because that will also tell you if you should stick with it or not.
Okay.
All right.
Next email. Do you want to read it?
I will read it. Hi, Betches. Love the When's Happy Hour book, which is, by the way, available to order right now everywhere books are sold. Go to betches.co/whh and get your copy,
or you can just go into a bookstore,
or you can just go into any bookstore that you see around you and get one.
And if you post on your Instagram story, we just might regrab it.
Yes. And this girl loves the book and all the content. You girls are killing it. Now I have a question about switching careers. I'm 23 and went to school for software engineering. I landed a badass job at a huge government contracting company where I'm working on aircrafts and really cool shit. I thought it was my dream job, but to my surprise, I'm so miserable. The company is great, but I hate being behind a computer coding all day. I really want nothing to do with the software industry anymore and want to work with people. Maybe negotiating contracts or sales? I'm not sure exactly where that leaves me, but I just started this job 3 months ago and I definitely don't want to leave, just want a new position. Do you think I need to wait a couple years before I say I want to change my career path completely? How long exactly? And when I do, how do I go about it and also make sure they don't fire me because they think I don't have an interest in my current job? Any advice would be greatly appreciated. Thanks so much and keep up the amazing work. Career confused batch.
Okay, so I think, I'm sorry that you hate your job. So you just started, and I think that is enough time to know that there's like certain aspects of the job that you don't really like and that you would rather work with people.
I think it's good to know that sooner rather than later. Some people take a really long time to like internally like self-reflect on what they like or don't like.
I wouldn't say you need to wait a couple of years whatsoever. And I do think that at your current job, you're actually in a pretty good position to look at other things. Like you can go meet the sales team and kind of talk to them about like what they do, like make a friend on the sales team or something.
Do you think 3 months is too short though? Like maybe she should wait 6 months and maybe give it, because sometimes it takes like longer than 3 months to really get into your position and get good at it and figure out what you're doing and even understand the company that you're working for.
Well, I don't think she should do anything real right now. Like, I don't think she should actually make any moves. What I'm saying is like, maybe try to meet people in other departments in the company. It seems like it's probably a very large company. She says a huge government contracting company. So maybe like try to interact socially with other people in the company and then kind of like learn about their jobs. Just, it doesn't even need to be like some strange person. Like it could just be someone who seems like your peer. And then you start talking to them about what they do. And you just kind of like are exploring what the other possibilities are without even telling people that you are. You're just like collecting information.
Yeah. Like, what do you do here all day?
Right. It doesn't even have to be formal. It could be more of like a social type interaction.
Just getting to know everything. And also I think it's important to just be really good at your current job, because if your bosses see that you're really, really good and really hardworking and really like organized and on your shit, they're not going to want to lose you as an employee, even if that's not like what you're like. Let's say that's not something that you're passionate about and want to keep doing. They're going to say like, okay, this girl. And if you say that, they're going to say this girl is an asset to the company. How do we make sure she stays and is doing something that we're going to get the most out of her doing?
Right. And also, if you're coding right now and you're doing something that has something to do with other parts of the business, knowing this software or whatever it is you're doing is like very useful and actually an advantage over someone else in sales or contracts or whatever it is.
Right.
Or whatever the other departments are, because you actually know the product that your company is putting out, and they would see that as an advantage, especially if you're good at it, because then it's like you have the pick of what
you're
doing.
Now you have an additional skill that has to do with your actual company. You raised your human capital.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I think that, it's definitely important just to like show that you're a good employee, like not even necessarily in your one field, but just in general.
Right. Because especially if you like start asking about different positions in the company right now, if you haven't just because you haven't been there that long, people might think, oh, she's really flaky. Like she can't decide what she wants to do.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that thinking about switching has to mean like right today you go to HR and say, I need a new job.
Yeah. Make it a well thought out, like really like you've really done your research into like what these other positions entail and what you're good at, and see if your those skill sets would even match.
Exactly.
Should we play some games?
Well, let's take a little break and then play the games.
Okay. I studied abroad in Florence, and I have to say Florence has like the best leather ever. And since studying there, I'm like kind of obsessed with Italian leather. Which brings us to our sponsor today, which is MGemmi, which is an Italian footwear company. It's a luxury company. We just got our first pair. They're amazing.
Yeah. So they're made by the same family-owned workshops in Italy where the most well-known luxury brands are made. That's where these MGemmi shoes are from.
Right. And what shoes did you get?
I got, they were like loafers.
Okay.
What did you get?
I got these like sandals. They're so beautiful. They're like studded. Ooh. Open-toed. I'm very excited to wear them. It's a little late in the season.
Ready but for winter.
Well, I'm going to Mexico soon for a wedding, so I'm really excited to wear them there. They're like beautiful. They're really, really well-crafted.
But here's the best part. You have this luxury Italian leather as these insane brands, but at a third of the price.
Yeah, that's like the best part.
Yeah. So go see for yourself how amazing these shoes are at mgemmi.com/betches. You'll get $50 off your first pair, which is like kind of a lot of money off.
It's a lot of money. These are really high quality shoes.
Yeah.
Seriously, like I got them. I tried them out. They fit great. They look great. They're awesome. And it's so you get $50 off your first pair. That's the letter M, G-E-M-I, mjemmy.com/betches for $50 off your first pair. mjemmy.com/betches. Mjemmy, Italian luxury made the old way, sold the new way.
I'm literally going to use this promo code to get another pair.
You should. Let's play some games.
Yes.
Okay. All right. BFF party with, shoot, Ariana Grande, Gigi Hadid, and Taylor Swift.
Ooh. Okay. Party with Ariana.
As you know, she's quite the fun partier.
Yes.
I think I'm getting rid of Gigi. Nothing about her is that appealing for me.
I feel like I'd be friends with Gigi.
Really? I feel like she's like, eh.
I hear that she's like fun. I hear good things about her.
I'm going to be friends with Taylor Swift because I feel like I'd like to like get in her head more.
Yeah. I'm sure she wants to be your friend after hearing that.
I would know. I would like to like know. I feel like there's something a little bit elusive about her. Like she has this sort of like public persona. She's been laying low. I like to know who she really is. I'd like to party with Ariana. I'm getting rid of Gigi.
I think I would friend Gigi, although the one reason I would want to friend Taylor would be because if we have a falling out, she could then write a song about me. And then there will forever be a song about me.
What if it's like really negative?
Well,
like Sammy's a backstabbing bitch.
Yeah. Well, then there will always be a song about me.
It's called Dear Sammy.
I will be immortalized in the lyrics about how I'm backstabbing bitch.
Have you heard her John Mayer song?
Dear John.
Dear John.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm just imagining. Dear Sammy.
You are a fucking big ass bitch. This has been a lyrical episode.
Your children too.
Well, I would, you know.
So, now you're at a Taylor concert.
I would write a song back and I would say it in my fucked up, horrible voice and it would just be a phenomenon. I'd be like the Cash Me Outside girl.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That would be cool.
Right. That's okay. The reason I would friend Taylor. But in reality, if I really had to pick, I might pick TG. I think she's a little more down to earth because she got famous later.
Ugh, please. She's Yolanda Foster's daughter. There's nothing about her that's down to earth.
Right. But you
it's
never know.
Not even
know.
Like she had a humble beginning.
You never know. Right.
Right. Growing up in the hoods of her mother's lemon field.
Yeah. Okay. Would you rather date someone who didn't speak the same language as you or someone who didn't know how to read?
Oh, that's I think hard. I would date someone who didn't know how to read because I'm very into communication.
Right.
I would just read for them. Maybe I could teach them. Like, would you rather teach like someone how to speak your language or how to read?
I think both sound fucking awful.
I've never liked dating guys who like don't speak English as their first language because I feel like there's like a language barrier.
I agree.
If you're like, especially if you're more like you're into like the first email wrote about, like if you're into like sarcasm being quick,
yeah,
like, the person is never if you don't understand, like I could never be like quick in French.
Right.
Like I know how to say a few things, but I'm never gonna be like the quickest,
right.
I'm never gonna be like yeah sharp. I'm never gonna be like sharp in French.
I think I have to agree with you because I like to have very deep conversations,
right?
And
it would be tough
like if you can't understand my nuances of my long-winded explanations about things.
Exactly. I don't think it would be a match.
Right. And plus you could just tell them what the books are about.
Yeah. I feel like you might like teaching someone how to read.
No.
Okay.
I would be like, why can't you sound out the letters, idiot?
Okay, so I take it you didn't do too much SAT tutoring.
No, I didn't. Yeah. I did not.
All right, last one.
Yes.
Would you rather live in a place where it gets dark at 2 p.m. every day or somewhere where it was never above 15 degrees every day?
The 2 p.m. thing, for sure.
You want it to get dark at 2 p.m. every day all year.
Fine. I can't take being cold.
I think I agree with you.
It's so awful.
It's depressing. Like now it's daylight savings. I mean, it's probably going to get dark in like an hour.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't care about the dark thing. I care about being cold.
Imagine I'm at the beach. It's dark out. What am I going to do?
Well, you could go on vacation.
At least I get to, but I can't even be at the beach, I guess, if it's
freezing.
15
degrees. Yeah. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Being cold is very uncomfortable.
Well, here's the thing. You could go on vacation and go to lighter places. But like, I can't be, it doesn't bother me that it gets dark at 4 p.m. I'm like, you know what? Like, let's just go to bed. It's fine. That's it makes me.
Because it's cold. If it was nice out, it would be annoying.
Right. Right. Exactly.
It's very convenient that it's dark at 4 when it's freezing.
Plus it causes me to eat less at night because like it's dark.
It's bedtime.
You know, it's like bedtime.
Do you eat more in the summer?
I eat more meals in the summer, I think, because there's more daylight hours. Right. So I'm
the
like,
day
oh.
is longer.
Right, exactly.
I feel that. Okay. Well, if you have any questions, please email us at slapped@betches.com. That's slapped@betches.com. And we will see you next week.